Storms never last if you know Jesus. Bad times all pass with the wind. Your hand in His stills the thunder, and His love makes the sun want to shine. He's followed you down so many roads waiting. He's picked you up each time you've had a fall. And every road you took, you know, it's He who brought you through. And even when you chose the wrong one too. Storms never last if you know Jesus. Bad times all pass with the wind. Your hand in His stills the thunder, and His love makes the sun want to shine. Greetings, loved ones, family, friends, and brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm greeting you from the canyonlands of Barizona. And this is a restaurant at Barizona. It's a very large place and beautiful. And it's just an expression of all the beautiful creation that God has made around this area. Canyonlands of the Grand Canyon and Sedona and Oak Creek Canyon and all those beautiful areas. This is just all those areas wrapped up in one expression of it here in this restaurant. But it's kind of haunting because it's quiet, and it's been that way for weeks. And I'm sure y'all know why. You know, disease is a fearsome thing, and we don't know for certain what the real story is, but it seems to be that it's a very serious disease and can easily be caught, and people are dying from it. I'm not going to go into the different stories that I hear, but I do know this one thing, that it's been serious enough that for whatever reason, whether true or false, society, as it were, is like shut down. And it reminds me of a coming time when the Lord's going to call His own home and any left behind. What a haunting thing. But I'm used to sitting right here and eating my lunch after the morning's work and then going back to work. But sit right here because I can hear all the joy and laughter, the people coming in and seeing the sights. And now it's quiet. You know, in Scripture, in Romans chapter 1, it says, because of creation alone, man is without excuse. And it's so true. If we didn't have the Bible, thank God that He gave us His precious word. But if we didn't have it, man would still be without excuse just because of creation. As man would not be able to use the excuse. Cannot use the excuse. Well, I can't believe because of science. Faith is simply a matter of the heart. It's so clear that all of creation had incredible intelligence. Make it. You can't study anything without seeing the amazing design. And when someone tries to start giving me a bunch of yarn about, oh, science says this and science says that, you know, I know the God of science. And, you know, just take a hike. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in that kind of phony baloney. Fact is God made it all. In John, it says, all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And science has not even come close to catching up with faith yet. There was a time back in, there's plenty of examples that I could give that where science has finally caught up a little bit with things God had already said. And, oh, wow, it's true. What it said in the Bible was true after all. Here we thought for sure it was wrong. We thought that it the earth was on a pillar, and it says in scripture it hangs on nothing. God hung it on nothing. And we thought that it was flat and we could fall off the edge, but God said it was a sphere and it was a globe. Well, science eventually catches up with the truth, because God made science. Science is simply true science, is observation of how things work and how they're made. How incredible intelligence made them. You don't walk into a room and see a computer and go, you know, there was an explosion and wow, phew, flop, flip, boom, ah, yeah, computer. I mean, that's just exactly how stupid it is to think that there is no intelligent design or that God didn't make it. Recently, I hit an elk going 60 miles an hour. We've had kind of a rough few months. Mark invited me to share some of these events, and I'm going to try and keep it short, so I won't go into a lot of detail, but I did some damage to my eyes when the airbags went off and the retinas started to detach, and 727 laser stitches later, I was back to my 20/20 vision. But I still have a few floaters in this eye, and it was scary. I mean, I was driving the first response of the search and rescue truck when I first noticed something going wrong, because it didn't happen right off when the airbags went off. I remember not being able to see, but I thought it was the airbags and the smoke, and it was dark outside. But I come to find out that what I first experienced was major trauma to my eyes. And then they righted, and the Lord allowed it. I was able to see to get home and everything. But then the damage had been done and started losing vision. Well, the Lord gave it back, and I no longer take sight for granted. I thank Him every morning and get up and see the blue sky. I'll never forget coming out of surgery, and the doctor said, you're not going to be able to see for a little bit, but it'll come back soon. And right in front of me, I began to see this incredible shape. And I knew it right away. It was my wife. And what joy that gave me. But it also brought attention to the eye. You know how our eyes are made fearfully and wonderfully in the womb? Did you know that there's a point where in the womb, a million nerves come from the back of the brain and a million nerves come from the eyeballs, and they come together and perfectly match up and meet? It's intelligent design. And you have sight except for one thing. There's skin over the eyeballs, so you don't have sight yet. But then God, you know, sometimes He keeps men from just finding out things. There's a verse that says, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. The glory of God to conceal a thing. God sometimes just doesn't let men find out some things. They still don't know. Scientists cannot explain it, where it comes from, or where it goes afterwards. But all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, comes a little cutting device in the womb there and perfectly cuts you some eyelids, and you have sight. Isn't that amazing? God is wonderful. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And scripture says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God loves you and He loves me. I know many that are listening to me will rejoice in these words, because they already have availed themselves of the free gift of God, eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. They have already received that relationship that will last forever. If you don't have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I hate to say it, but the very worst is yet to come. That's a fact. But if you know Him, the very best is yet to come. You know, throughout my life, I'm 64 years old now, and throughout my life, I've had some big down times and some tremendous up times. Morningstar Camp is one of them. Floating those rivers with you dear ones out there. Man, what joy that gives me. And what joy it is to be under those big tents out in the wilderness, singing hymns and praises to Him, and learning more of that one who loves us so much. We're kind of used to March being the month of the battering ram, we like to refer to it, the battering ram of Satan, because Something happens in March every year. You'd think he'd change up his game plan, but I guess it's just a battering ram. Figures if he keeps hitting, eventually the gates will break. But you know what? We have a wonderful God, and he is able to keep us. And it seems like something happens that scares us and makes us think camp's not going to happen. And I don't know for sure this year. We've sent out the invitations. Rangers have not said no yet. And I'm trusting him for it. But Mark invited me to share these events. Just on March 27, I was on the scaffolding doing some art just at the front of this building in the foyer. And I got a call from Pam. And she said, John. And I knew in her voice something was terribly wrong. And I said, what? And she goes, everybody's okay. She heard my... my what, and she says, everybody's okay, John, but your shop is ablaze. I said, ablaze? She says, it's on fire. And oh man, I start climbing down the front. I said, is someone putting the fire out, or you got water going on, or there's three fire extinguishers in there? She said, no, hun. She said, we've called 911, they're on their way, but I mean, this shop went up, your shop went up in seconds. It went from a small fire. Jesse was in there laminating and he saw a glow behind him, and here comes fire towards him, and he gets up and he runs for fire extinguishers but didn't see them right off, and so he headed out the door and went up to the house and grabbed one, and he comes racing back and all the doors blew. She said it was just amazing. That whole shop became an inferno of heat so great that metal was melted. Pools, 28 chainsaws became just little puddles of nothing. And all this woodworking equipment, everything, just amazing, the devastation of that blaze. Everything came down and everything consumed. There was artwork in there that we'd been working months on, and some of the artwork even years on. One Artwork for Part City project that's been going on for 3 years burned to nothing. So you can imagine my incredible shock, and I got down and I hit the floor and I just sat down and I said, Pam. And she said, I know, hon. All I know is we've got the firemen coming, but it's gone. And she said, I gotta go. And when she hung up, I just sunk down on the floor, and there's only one word I could say. I just said, Lord, Lord, Lord. And a little song came to me. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget. You know, sometimes the Lord just ministers in song, doesn't he? And it went like this. I'll just sing the first two lines, because I want to try to keep this short. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That's so true, because I know I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I took advantage of that free gift. I want to share that right now with you. If you don't know him, you know, back in Numbers 21, it tells when Israel had sinned, the people of God had sinned grievously, and they were dying in the desert floor there, being bit by fiery serpents, as scripture puts it. And they now believe that was the desert adder. You got, I think it's 3 to 5 minutes, maybe 6 minutes to live, and then you're dead. And Moses cried out to God, and he said, make a brass serpent and put it on a pole, and whoever looks upon it will be healed. That happens to be the symbol of healing across the entire civilized earth right now, today. You see it on many medical buildings, see it all over. That symbol. That symbol is a symbol of healing, is a symbol of redemption. And I'll tell you why that is. You might say, how can a serpent be that? Well, in John 3:14, it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the creator of heaven and earth. Because in John, it says, in the first chapter of John, it says, All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And then the verse right after that, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loved you so much. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Awesome, awesome words. Because if you know the whole story, sin had come in and we had been separated from God. And without that redemption, it would be hopeless for us. Anyone that tries and says, tries to explain sin away, doesn't take very long for them to, their arguments to fall apart. We can read a paper today and see sin all over it. We hear the news and we find out the horrors of sin out there. We can see what devastation sin has done to this earth. There were choices made, and God made us free agents. Beloved, you have a choice. If you haven't already, I know many listening to me now have already made that choice. They know that the very best is yet to come. But if you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the very worst is yet to come. You know, the greatest gift that we have on this earth is not any things. I lost so much in that shop. Some things I'll never see again. There were some relief carvings I was working on little by little that I was very fond of. Different things, they continue to come to mind, but all of those things are so really nothing. Yes, it really hurts to not be able to make a living when your livelihood is taken from you. That is a thing that hurts so bad, but you know what? I have to trust him. And I've learned in my life, it just ain't worth not. It's just, there's no other choice, really. I mean, it is misery to not trust him. Worry is a thing that just is miserable, just makes you downright miserable. Why not trust the God who upholds the planets and keeps the stars in line and keeps them out there so we can navigate by them? Have you ever thought of that? You know, that it says in Colossians, he upholds all things by the word of his power. That's the wonder of the one we know, Lord Jesus Christ. He is awesome. He's amazing to have a relationship with him, and can we trust him? You know, relationship is the greatest gift, not things, not owning lands, not having money, all of that stuff, nice as it might be. The fact is the greatest thing is relationship. Think about it. The greatest thing is relationship. The loved ones you have, are they not precious? Are they not? When you really think about what enriches your life the most, what is it? It's a relationship with other human beings. It really is. A relationship with my wife has been the most wonderful thing on this earth as far as mankind relationship. I can't imagine life without her. And through her, what has God given? My children. Those relationships are so enriching. And then my grandchildren. You know, everything that God gives expands and blesses. Everything that Satan and this world and its lies and all the wretchedness of sin, it subtracts and diminishes and leads you to nothing. There's a little song called The Long Black Train. It says, don't get on it, because that long black train is headed out to a place of nowhere. And that's exactly what it is. It's absolute emptiness. And it ends in an eternity of outer darkness and separation from God. It's a state called hell that you don't want to be there. You don't want to go there. And it is real. God has stated, Lord Jesus said of it more than anyone else. He warned of hell. But he made every provision that you don't have to go there, that you can escape that horrible darkness. And it's simply by taking a free gift from the one who made everything. When you go out in the mountains and see all the beauty out there, you go out in the ocean and see that blessed blue and those incredible waves, and you enjoy the deserts and the flowers and the things. He made it. You gonna say no to him? Or go on some stupid excuse about science that just falls so short of intelligent design is all around us. When you go into a computer room, you don't say, you know, that thing just came to be, boopity boopity boop, and there was the computer. No. You know that some intelligence was there, and it was created by intelligence. Did you know the human eye is the greatest mechanism on this earth? It outdoes the eagle. It outdoes, the eagle may be able to see more distance, maybe sharper, but it can't do everything the human eye can do. The human eye has something special to it. It has discernment. It can better judge all kinds of things and scenarios. It can adjust for things far better than any other animal eye. It's amazing. It has discernment. It's amazing. It's God made us in his own image. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. So the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Don't go down the path of the fool. It's not worth it. It's a unhappy life, and it ends in absolute destruction. When God gave that command to Moses to make that serpent, you know what that serpent stood for? It stood for the bite of sin. And the Lord Jesus, he hung up on that cross, and he has made sin for you and me. He took the punishment of a thrice holy God so that we wouldn't have to take it. And he bore it there on that tree called Calvary that divides all of time. We do business by it. BC, before Christ, after death. You think that's an accident? The whole world, no matter what men say, and oh, this time, well, it's actually this time, the Greek. No, what is the whole earth actually do business by? It's before Christ and after death. God divided time that way, by the cross, by the greatest expression of love that man has ever known. You know, you just about, really, I like to think, and I think it's accurate, you have to go around that cross to get to hell. It's standing there in front of you, and you have to go around it. You have to reject it. Why would you do that? Pleasures of sin for a season? You know, God made everything. He made the wonders of a relationship between a man and a woman, and Hollywood has taken them and trashed them and made them a cheap thing. But I'll tell you something. There's more joy and wonder in doing things God's way than you can ever imagine. It lasts. Just like I said before, everything that God does, it builds and blesses. Everything that this world thinks is right and the lies of Satan, it subtracts and diminishes and becomes nothing and empty. Remember one man telling my father he had many women and his life, and he says, you know, Larry, I don't even enjoy that thing anymore. I'm more into the chase. Once I catch the chase, I have no joy in it. That's what Satan does. He trashes the glory of man. God calls the woman the glory of the man. Did you know that? That's an incredible thing, and I think all of us men would agree. They are definitely the glory of the man. Beautiful, but what does Satan do? He trashes it. He trashes everything good. He destroys it. That's what sin does. It destroys everything good. But God's ways build and bless. Just remember that. God's ways build and bless. Don't put off salvation. Come to him now. Come to him and have that life-changing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Greatest gift you can have. And then that will bless every other relationship that you have on this earth. I love the relationships I have here at Arizona. So many dear ones. And when this fire happened, I have to say the love just poured out of all of them. I felt overwhelmed by it. You could tell they just felt for us. You know, dear ones, I wish I could say that I could promise you that life is going to be easy for you and wonderful all of your life. But saved or lost, whether you believe in God or not, you're going to have some pretty bad times in this world. sorry to say that, but there's going to come a time when you die if other things don't happen first. There's going to come a time when it's really hard. And there's going to be other times when it's really good. God does that. He gives us wonderful times. But because of sin and because of this old earth is just wearing out, we face a lot of troubles in this life. And I love that verse too that says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. You don't want to go through this life without him. Have that relationship that makes it worth it, even when you go through very hard times. You know, my wife and I, as we were recalling some of the things we'd lost in this terrible fire, we first of all rejoiced in the fact that God had spared our dear son, Jesse. And Jesse, I have this beautiful picture of, I say beautiful, it's a picture of the fire actually, but why is it beautiful to me? Here's my son courageously driving the tractor out of the flames. It's symbolic to me. It's just, I cannot express the joy that that picture gives me. And yet there's my shop and my business burning to the ground, but there's my son and he's safe and he's driving out of that fire. Oh, I'm overwhelmed just thinking about it. Oh, and God spared him. And he's a quick thinker. I've been out hunting with him, and I just, all the so many things we've done together, and he's amazing. But you know what? There's a situation that happened there. We know it was probably the propane furnace, and it, some kind of ignition hit that resin. And we know now, on all those resin containers, there's a warning of fire and flame. So we've always been careful. And we've been careful how we mix the products and everything. But I don't think any of us had a clue of how fast something can happen there. We do now. And boy, I'll tell you, all of a sudden it's like touching TNT. Jesse said, Dad, I ran up there. I was up there so fast. And I know that guy, he is in awesome shape. He can leap up a mountain amazingly. And he went up that mountain and to the house, grabbed that another fire extinguisher and came down and it blew. He said, Dad, it wasn't even 60 seconds. It just, and the whole thing went up. And I just, things in this life are so fragile. Life can be over all of a sudden just like that. I remember a dear girl that worked down in the park systems when I was a ranger and came in one morning and she was dead. I mean, she wasn't dead there. She'd at her house, she just dropped dead. She had a brain aneurysm. None of us know what our time is gonna be. So don't put off salvation. Say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that simple. Remember, it's just as simple as a look to the cross of faith. You just have faith that the Lord Jesus died for you, and just a look at him saves you. But it's wonderful to confess him as Lord. There's another verse that says, thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is the Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And another verse says, the Lord Jesus says, whoso confesseth my name before men, I will confess his name before my Father in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? So it's wonderful to confess that the Lord is your Lord and Savior. The Lord Jesus is your Lord and Savior before men, because there's a special blessing that comes with that. And you're just going to bless others. What are we ashamed of? You know, can we be ashamed of the most awesome thing? The creator of the heavens and the earth that made everything? In this, you know, sometimes I'm so amazed because of the power of the silver screen and Hollywood and all, and it's cool to be an unbeliever. That's what they've done. Cool. You know what it is? It's flat down stupid. It's ignorant and it's damned. Lands you in hell. And it's, you know, I had a dear doctor tell me, I just can't see a loving God sending people to hell. No, they send themselves to hell. That's the facts. They choose to go around the greatest gift ever, and then they land in a lost eternity. It's that simple. And it is God says it's there. Don't go there. You don't have to. Have wisdom. Say yes to Him who made you, who loves you, who made you so beautiful, who made you in the image of Himself. And it's just insanity, isn't it? It's a form of insanity to be ashamed in any way of our Creator, the one who made us. Boldly declare Him, loved ones. Remember, you're a child of God, those of you who know Him already. And everything that works in the universe works because of Him. He upholds all things by the word of His power. So what kind of, you know, is it we're afraid to offend someone, speak about Him? Imagine that. Afraid to offend them? You know, you go to a doctor, you're feeling bad, and you got something wrong with you, and you're feeling really bad, and if you go to a doctor and the doctor says, you know what, just think good thoughts, you're going to be fine. And you know, the doctor's thinking to himself, I don't want to offend him. He's got cancer, but shoot, he might get offended if I tell him that. Well, sin is a cancer, and God says, you got it. He says, you need the remedy. That's the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross. Say yes to Him. It's worth it. No one has ever said yes to Him and regretted it. It can't happen. It's the most wonderful thing you could possibly do. And guess what? There's something I get so disgusted with. You hear people saying to lost sinners, repent. You know what? A lost sinner can't repent of his sins until he has life. He has to have life before he can repent. So let's get that straight in Scripture right now. You can't repent unless you first have life. If you're feeling right now a sense of hopelessness, or like you just feel like, I just don't know what to think, I don't know what to believe, cry out to God, because he's there. He'll hear you. You know, He wants to reveal Himself to you. He loves you more than I could. And I tell you, I meet people all the time. I just end up, as soon as I'm talking to them, I don't care what size, shape, or color, I love them. I as soon as they start talking, I realize this is a person, and I just feel a love towards them. I'm sure many of you do the same. And you look at them and you think, you know, God loves them. And by the way, He loves them more than I could possibly love them, because He made them. And they have a never-dying soul. Think of that. Don't be ashamed of telling the gospel or afraid of offending. Be gentle, be loving, but tell the truth. The truth is, we all are lost sinners. And except for the grace of God, and except for that incredible price He paid on Calvary, there'd be no hope for us. But you know what? I'm a sinner saved by grace. He came down and He died for me. And I said yes to Him, and you can too if you haven't already. And I know many dear brothers and sisters in Christ are rejoicing right now, because they know the best is yet to come for them. I want to close with this little song. When out on the oceans and the swells of the waves, no sign of land, just a saltwater spray, or clinging to rocks on a high mountain ridge, I'm a speck in the landscape, but my God is so big. I can feel it all over as I gaze at the skies, and the host of the heavens all twinkle at night, out floating the rivers where the bald eagle flies, overwhelmed with the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. My God made the stars to fill out the skies, planets that circle and balance in time, the earth with its mountains and oceans and tides. I know I can trust Him with all of my life. Shall I then worry for tomorrow at all, when my God made the mountains so grand and so tall? What peace then to trust Him and live just today, the way He has planned it for eternity's sake?
striving or fretting, but fill with the song of praise to the one who could never do wrong, who gave me a life based sweetly in grace, and promised so dearly that I'll see his face. My God made stars that fill out the skies, planets that circle and balance in time, the earth with its mountains and oceans and tides. I know I can trust him with all of my life. How grand it will be when I see face to face who on me bestowed his riches of grace, made all the wonders of earth that I see, yet died on that cross and has risen for me, who gave me the wings of faith that can fly above the constraints and troubles of time. The best by far is so soon to be, when time will give way to eternity. My God made stars that fill out the skies, the planets that circle and balance in time, the earth with its mountains and oceans and tides. I know I can trust him with all of my life. Oh yes, we can trust him with all of our life.
Dear ones, I want to say too, you know, already we've felt such love from all the saints. In fact, I wouldn't want to have gone through, not gone through this fire experience. I can say that already, as much as and horrendous as it is, that the thing that happened, it was just, there was a point where Pam and I both had to make a choice. And I remember saying, you know, to Pam, I said, it seems hopeless. And it reminds me of that portion in Romans 4:18. It says, who against hope believed in hope. Abraham had been given a promise, and a promise of a child to come, and been promised to be a father of many nations. And here he's getting into his old age, and Sarah's past age even, no child. But the promise came to pass, and Isaac was born, child of laughter. You know, his promises always come to pass. But we had a choice. It says in that portion there too, just a few verses down, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong of faith, giving glory to God. And my wife says, John, we can't get down because we'll dishonor him. Think of the choices. I can worry. I can get down. I can... There's nothing I can do. I sure can't resurrect all that stuff. I can't bring it back. I can't. There's things lost that I'll never be able to get back. But you know what? They're temporal things. All of this earth is fleeting and passing away. The eternal things are coming. The everlasting place is coming. And Pam and I just were encouraged so much by that. The fact that we have an opportunity now to trust. And you know, it was shortly after that, making that decision, we're not gonna get down. Be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as he told me. And he said, my God shall supply all your need. You know, those out there, it's kind of a fearful thing to see what's happening all around the world and lockdown, and businesses are hurting terrible and everything. But just remember that. This is a time to honor him. This is a time to give him glory. When you trust someone, you honor them. When you give your trust to someone, that's an honor. Well, he is worthy of all honor. We can trust people and sometimes they'll disappoint us. But I know I've sure not been able to live up to everything I've wanted to. But God can keep every promise, and he always does. He won't go against them. By two immutable things, God, who cannot lie, promised. And everything he said will come to pass. It's our opportunity now to trust him. And already... it was after that we began to see the love pouring in from saints all over, and practical love expressions as well as the wonderful Word of God being brought to us. I have to say, the very morning after the fire, the verse on the calendar was, "When my soul is overwhelmed within me." And that verse, I got up and I ripped the day before, the 27th off, and I look, "When my soul is overwhelmed within me," and that's exactly what I was feeling. I can't tell you, you know, that calendar is made a couple years in advance, maybe even 3 years in advance, and yet I have so many times, it's just the verse I need for the day. You know who does that? God, working through his own. I happen to know the sister that does it now, Louise, bless her. God is using her. And you know what? The fact is that was the perfect verse for me that morning. God has, he has us in his plans so beautifully, and he takes care of us. And I remember after reading that verse, feeling a surge of strength and trust. And I called Pam and shared it with her, and she rejoiced in it. And we thought of that verse, "Rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice," is the verse. We have a God who is so wonderful. And you know what? Just remember, bad times are always going to come until we're home. And good times are going to come. And God has a way of making up for those bad times. Love you all, and let's just pray. Father, we just come before you with a grateful hearts for everything that you do. And your goodness and mercies to us cannot be found out. They're so vast and so amazing. Lord, we thank you so much for your training us, your chastening, and your love to us, your working things out. We think of that verse in Romans that says, "All things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose." And we can trust you, Lord Jesus, to take care of us. And so we give thanks, Father, for that gift of all gifts, the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Think of it. When we say yes to him, we're joint heirs with the creator of the universe. Wow. Thanks, Father. In the name of that blessed one, our soon coming Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.